Today marks on the Christian calendar the Christmas season. Today marks on the Christian calendar the beginning of Advent, the arrival of the King into the world. For the Christian community, the Christian church, us as Christians in the Christian calendar, this is our new year, Advent. The preparation for Jesus to come in the flesh. And so this is an exciting time. So for the next, all the way through the end of the year, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. And what is love? And how this idea over the next 5 weeks is we saw love embodied in God in these moments. So if you'll stand with me, let's begin in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Father, we thank you for this morning and this time to be together with brothers and sisters. And Lord, we ask now that you open our hearts and minds, and that your Spirit enter into us and transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So Isaac has this favorite joke. It's this long-running thing of his. And it's a knock-knock joke. And it goes like this. Knock-knock. Right. And he says, the interrupting cow. Moo! That's it. That's our life from the ages of like 3 to 5, was this joke constantly. It's like the one knock-knock joke he could remember was this one. And it's also one of those things that we all learn growing up, and it can be harder for some, as we see with my son Isaac. And Laurie and I can be in the middle of an enthralling conversation, or just any conversation, and out of nowhere, Isaac steps in, and he says, let me tell you something. And you're like, hold on. Let me tell you something. Maybe some of you being here have been on the end of this statement from him. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. And it doesn't matter what you're talking about. Isaac wants your attention, and he wants it right now. Period. He wants you to hear what he has to say. And to him, it is the most important thing that you will hear of the day. And he's got many most important things. And so we have begun to teach him this lesson, something about this knock-knock joke, that we don't interrupt others. It's rude. Let others have their moment in the conversation, and then you can talk. And that's the thing about an interruption, whether it's my son or whether it's someone else or whether it's just a random moment. Interruptions have a way of pulling our attention away from that thing in which we're focused on, and it pulls our attention away from that one thing towards something else. And this can be a dangerous thing for many of us, because for many of us in here, and I'm also talking about myself, it's easy to forget what we were just talking about. Anybody have a problem with that? If someone interrupts you, you forget the conversation that you were just having. And so that's what tends to happen when Isaac interrupts us, is she'll say something, and we'll say something to him, and then I'll look at Laurie, and I'll say, I don't know what I was going to say. And so he just wins the moment. Sometimes interruptions can be a good thing. They can't. Throughout the scripture, throughout what we read that we call the Bible, we notice these kind of interruptible moments, moments where God steps in and through time and history to cause a person to do something they wouldn't have done otherwise, causes them to go somewhere they never would have gone otherwise. And whether it's the direction they were going or an idea about God, the Bible continually reads as a story of God's surprising interruptions. And we read it and we look at what the person did. And sometimes it's easy in our human side to say, God can be a bit rude at times. He can kind of just do his own thing. I remember in Acts 9 with Ananias and Paul has just had his Damascus moment. You know, Ananias is just minding his business when God steps in and interrupts Ananias and says, hey, I need you to go take care of a blind guy, and his name is Paul. And you remember Ananias is like, God, that sounds like a really bad idea. And God says, I know, but this is what I need you to do. God can be a bit rude at times when God interrupts. And so today, this Sunday, begins the new season in the Christian calendar. And I mean, I know that we know that seasons are changing. I mean, especially for us, we've really seen it. But it's one of those weird things that we know the season is changing. It's gotten colder. But it's even weirder in Grapevine is, does everyone know that we have an ice skating rink now? And it's outside? Does anybody find that weird? When on Tuesday it's supposed to be 75? But we all know the seasons are changing. We have this ice skating rink, and everyone has survived the Black Friday temptations and the rush of people. And TV and radio now, I know the day after Thanksgiving, are reminding us of the season. We are seeing it on the Hallmark Channel with all the cheesy movies. And we the nonstop Christmas music. And suddenly as the light turning on from when you wake up at night, everything has changed. An interruption kind of marks the season of the ordinary days. These days and in this next month means that something different is about to happen. That something important is going to happen. There's something about this time that we mark as Advent, as the Christmas season, that's important. But here's the thing. The world attempts to pull us away from all of that. The world attempts to pull our focus away from why the season is important towards other stuff. We just talked about Black Friday, and so the world tells us that you need to buy the best gifts. You need to get the most stuff. You need to be focused on trying to make others happy with a gift. And so the world begins to play on our ambition. The world begins to play on our emotion. And it gets us to believe that the stuff is the reason for the season. I read a report on Saturday that said on Black Friday, businesses raised $9 billion. The most ever. The world does a good job of telling us what the reason for the season is. And you know, the world also does a job of trying to make a culture war out of Christmas. And you know, we talk about this, whether we can say Merry Christmas or not. And come on, you and I know it. We can say Merry Christmas. So the world takes our attention away towards something else about Christmas. It'll pull us in a cultural direction. It'll pull us even in a political direction. Or it'll pull us in an economic direction. Anything to get our mind off of what this season is really all about. We know it means something. We know the turning of the calendar into December means something more than just a big guy in a red coat who brings us gifts. Which brings us to the passage for the next 4 weeks. Because I believe we need this kind of interruption in our lives. We need reorientation. And the church at Corinth was struggling with everything. If you've ever read 1 Corinthians, if you ever read 2 Corinthians, you can realize the church struggles with everything. They can't handle relationships right. They can't handle the gifts of the Spirit right. They needed an interrupting moment. They needed a word from Paul that would cause them to look at what they're doing, to see how the world around them and the culture around them was pulling them in a different direction. They needed a jolt. Something to pull them away, to wake them up to whatever culture was telling them to do. And so we read in 1 Corinthians that relationships were being distorted, that gifts were being distorted, and that the community of God, well, was not quite being the community of God. And really not far from us today when we think about it. Because we need, and the world needs, this moment. We need this interruption. And since the garden, creation has been waiting on an interruption. Romans 8 tells us that creation is yearning. Creation is moaning to be made new. We have been waiting on God for so long. And throughout the Old Testament, we read of the yearning for God to come. Why? One word, sin. Sin and the story of sin has been the great disruptor of God's initial work. Sin, as Romans 1 tells us, disfigured creation. It disfigured God's work in creation. It disfigured us, in which we would worship other things other than God. And as a community, we read in Scripture what sin has done to the world. We read what sin has done to us. We read every day, we hear every day, we experience it every day, what sin does to us. We can't escape its power. As hard as we try, as hard as you try to be perfect, you can't escape sin's power. And sin has a way of wearing us down. It causes us to rationalize why we do certain things. It causes us to rationalize why we say certain things about people. And you know what I'm talking about. It's these little moral inconsistencies in our life. It's doing some of the right things, but lacking morals and love and other things. We try to get it all square, but it's still hard. We still find a way to rationalize our pocketbooks. We still find a way to rationalize our relationships. And so while we may be good in relationships, we may not be all that good with our pocketbook and our business. There's just this struggle, this inconsistency that we're continuing to work with. And so Paul, in the passage to the Corinthian church, speaks to their use of gifts. What happens when love isn't present? When love is not present, Paul says, our lives ring hollow. Trust becomes hard. Belief becomes harder. It's hard to love someone when you're questioning their motives, when you're questioning their words, when what they say doesn't quite match up with what they do. You know what I'm talking about? Without love encompassing all things, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13, without love encompassing all things, then hope is fleeting and trust is lost, and our lives become nothing more than another very loud noise amongst all the other loud noises in the world. We're just trying to be louder than the others. If you do not have love, then all you are is a gong or a cymbal. You have nothing. You gain nothing, is what Paul says. We gain nothing because without love, all we do is worry about our own selfish desires. Worry about how much we can have. Worry about how much we can spend. Worry about being the person who gives the kids or the grandkids the most gifts. Because that's the most important thing, right? We need Christmas now more than ever. We need Christmas every year. We need a different story of love that counters the one that sin tries to write in our lives. We need a story that says, this will interrupt all of your thinking over the last 11 months. There is a better story. There is a better way to live than the one that is constantly running in your head, the one of self-desire. There is a better way to live with one another. We need a good interruption to remind us of what we as a community of people are all about, who we're supposed to be, and what we're supposed to be doing. If the Christmas season is anything, it is an Advent season. It is the arrival of love. As one writer writes, and I love what this writer says. He says, love, like the word of the cross in 1 Corinthians 1:18, becomes the great but that interrupts everything. You may have all of the gifts in the world, but if you don't have love, then you're just a loud noise. You may be able to do the coolest things and give your life, but if you don't have love, you gain nothing. And it's the big one from Paul as he talks about in 1 Corinthians 1:18, where he speaks of the cross and he says, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Paul begins in 1 saying, this whole letter is going to be a big but to everything that you're doing. The narrative of Scripture
is a narrative of struggle. A struggle between God's deep love and sin's bitterness. And so the Advent season is once again a reminder, an ongoing once-a-year interruption that God does not sit on the sidelines of the world, that God would not allow sin to do its continual work on creation, that sin's tentacles, while constrictive, while difficult to get out of, while can feel persuasive, would not have a stronghold on God's good creation, that sin would not have the last word on God's image bearers. So this Advent season for the Christian church and those who bear the name of Christ is what I think our souls have been waiting on for 11 months. We need this word. We need Advent. We need a reminder of what love is. And so we've been waiting, whether we know it or not. And the thing about waiting is it's hard. Humans don't like to wait. It's not a fun thing to wait in line. Waiting causes us to give into our own devices. Waiting causes us to do our own thing, to say that I can lead the way. But in this season, we await for 4 weeks for the arrival of Jesus. We await the 4 weeks for the arrival of a love embodied. We know that Jesus is coming. And in these 4 weeks, we get a picture of love, a picture of self-sacrificing love, a picture of just how far God will go for you, but also for the whole world. One of my favorite movies, Christmas movies, stories of all time, especially during Christmas, is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Laurie and I were talking about it the other night, because I turned it on. I inaugurated Christmas by watching The Christmas Carol. And Laurie was like, why do you watch The Christmas Carol? And I was like, it's my favorite story, Ebenezer Scrooge. And she just looked at me and goes, that makes sense. There's something about bah humbug that just, you know, gets the juices flowing. But you know the story, Ebenezer Scrooge, the bah humbug guy, right? He's got this attitude, and it's not just at the idea of the Christmas season, it's who Ebenezer Scrooge is. Now, its setting is in Christmas, right? But Ebenezer Scrooge is a bitter man to be a bitter man, just to be a bitter man. Everything he does, all of his desire is pointed inward towards himself. When the men of charity come to try to take something, get something from him, right? Try to take a donation. When the men of charity come, Ebenezer Scrooge reminds them, hey, we have houses that they can work at. We have the slavery, basically slavery houses where they can work. Now these houses, if you know anything about England at that time, were not great places. They had a way of causing disease and killing people. But Ebenezer Scrooge says, I give to those places. Why would I give out a charity to give to some people who, just to give them things they didn't work for or deserve? You get a picture of who Ebenezer is in this moment. It's not just the Christmas season, it's who he is. And then we get into this glimpse of who he is and this rationalization of what he does when he is flashed back to his past and he's sitting at a desk with the love of his life at that time. And she looks at him and says, and I'm paraphrasing, I look across the desk at one who's given themselves to an idol of gold. And Ebenezer Scrooge says, is it not right for an honest man to make an honest day's wage in the way that I do it? And in that picture, we get this man who has rationalized his way to be just mean, to be cold-hearted. He's never experienced love. He's lost love. And so we know that in the Christmas Carol, Scrooge needed an interruption, and Scrooge got a really cool story out of it. But when love is exchanged for anything else, as we see in the Christmas Carol, maybe this is why I like it. When love is exchanged for anything else, whether it be desire to get what you need, whether it be the desire to be the most powerful, whether it be the desire to have the most, whether it be even the desire to take care of, you know, you and yours, we ourselves can become our own Scrooge. We can become Scrooge rather quickly. And this Advent season is our three ghosts. It's actually 4 weeks, but it's our three ghosts. It is our coming interruption. It is a story that tells us we cannot do it by ourselves. As much as Scrooge tried, and we see he tried, he was by himself in the late part of his life, he can't do it by himself. He needed, and we need, the story that Christ has come into the world, and it's a story that God is willing to go to the extreme, to give up God's self, to put on flesh, to become like us. This Christmas season is upon us today, and it is a love embodied. It is a story that love embodied came to be with us, came to show us a new way. And here's the thing about this season. We need to be a little bit still. We need to wait. We need to be still because we need to figure out where our own hearts are. We need to recognize that love has come. We need to recognize that Christ has come. And we need to recognize that love is possible. And that we are the bearers of that possible love. And so all I'm going to ask you today is to be honest about your inner Scrooge. Be honest about the places in life where love hasn't penetrated. Be honest about the places in life in which you're not quite consistent with love. And over the next 4 weeks, let's let love be our principle as we encounter the love that came into this world, into the Christmas season, into this Advent season we go as a people of God, into a season where we rejoice the coming of the Messiah. When John writes in 1 John 4, 16, so that we have known and believe the love that God has for us, that God is love. So let's stop running. Let's stop consuming. Let's stop rationalizing. Our lives need interrupting so that the Scrooge in all of us can be transformed. God wants, God desires for us to know love and what God's love is. And so let's encounter it this season. Let's encounter love as hope, that love is peace, that love is eternal, and that love has come. And let us believe that that love has the power to transform even the most bitter of hearts into something different. And maybe let's be interrupted a little bit by all the noise of the season that tells you you need to spend another billion on stuff and consume a little bit more and realize that our life is good because love has arrived. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.